Listen to this here. It's that Knob Creek. Straight bourbon whiskey there, people. 100 proof, just a small batch. What we pouring on the rocks this evening. It's Friday evening here in the great state of Alabama. Hillbilly Central. Get that set right over there. Because that's going to be our sipping for the evening. Put the top back on this small bottle here. I just got a small bottle, y'all. I don't drink a whole lot. Try not to drink it all during the week. Listen to this here. Mm-hmm. But I will drink on the weekend now. And I will drink when I'm on vacation. Which was a couple weeks ago. We took a trip up to Charleston, South Carolina. And had a beautiful, beautiful time. You know, it was our 5th anniversary of our marriage. And very blessed to have my wife in my life and everything be going great with us. And we usually go down to the Gulf Coast and peruse down there. But we decided not to this year and do something a little different. And went up to Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, a lot of times you travel to a new town. It takes some adjusting. You know, it takes some getting used to the new places, the new people. That's not the case for Charleston, though, man. We had a great time. So many beautiful places to see and so many great restaurants to eat at. We saw all the sights up there. And I'm going to go back and do what I did last year whenever we went to Hawaii. And just look at some of these pictures on my phone here in a minute. And just go over some of the memories, you know, on this podcast. Because that's what this podcast is all about. And that's me, OJP, telling my story, sharing the happy times in my life. So let's take a drink of this Coast IPA here. That is canned and brewed up in North Charleston. We brought some of that back with us, so that was a blessing to get a hold of that good cold beer. It was the very first beer that I had up in Charleston at the bar at Husk Restaurant. Hang on just a second. I got to turn this fan off in here. I think it's turned up. Old sinuses. Y'all know how they do. They ain't never been right my whole life, and it don't take much to trigger a sneezing spell. Anyway, yeah. So I'm going to share the whole story, though, before I get into the husk situation here. Let's go ahead and go to the old archives here and just try to go through this whole trip on May the 3rd, which is our anniversary. That's when we left out from down here. And, man, you know, sometimes you just don't ever know when you hit that highway what you're going to get into. And the very first stop that we made ended up being in a little town called Greensboro, Georgia. And I'll be 100% honest with y'all, I didn't know a damn thing about Greensboro, Georgia. And I still don't know much about it. But I know that when you're passing on the interstate there on I-20, you'll see the normal sign for the next exit coming up. You know, they'll have the food. And you'll see the McDonald's and the Zaxby's and the Subway and the fast food chains that are everywhere. No different in Greensboro, Georgia, not South Carolina. And, down there in the corner, there's this little little sign for yesterday's cafe. And we decided to stop off and see what that was all about. After the wife pulled it up on the Yelp, took a look at her. Looked like they had some good food, so we needed to get some gas, use the restroom, etc. That's a swig of that Knob Creek for you there. And we decided to pull on in there and check them out. And you talking about some good food, man. We ate some good food there. I had some of the best mashed potatoes I've had since eating my granny's cooking or my mama's cooking. My mama makes some dang good mashed potatoes. And these were right there on par with hers, so I was very, very pleased. I had some mashed potatoes. It was kind of like an Alice Springs grilled chicken dish and some black-eyed peas and cornbread. Crystal had a fried green tomato sandwich and some sweet potato fries. Now, I'm going to go and tell you, she orders them sweet potato fries quite a bit. I can't eat them, y'all. Little sip of whiskey on that. I can't eat them. They're too much for me. I love to eat a roasted sweet potato, but I ain't gonna eat no fried sweet potato. But anyway, she wanted to go in this little shop that was there in the old part of town, so she went in there to look at some earrings or whatever, and I took out walking. Y'all know I've been known to explore. And I got to see the town. Real small southern town. You know, we got this stereotype down here that is dying. That everything's real slow down here. A lot of places it's not anymore down here. But I can tell you right now, in Greensboro, Georgia, it's still fairly slow, and I really loved it. They had all kind of little statues and stuff in their town square with an old courthouse. And it's just refreshing sometimes to see everything moving kind of slow. Because everything's wide open everywhere else in the world. Or so it seems. But not on that Friday afternoon in Greensboro, Georgia. And let's see, was there anything else I had to say about Greensboro? Oh, one thing I've been meaning to tell some folks about that happened to grow up down where I did, around Jemison, Alabama, maybe. When I was really, really young, I remember going in this was before the Dollar Generals and the Family Dollars of the day had taken over down here in the South. There was a Bill's Dollar Store right there in the old Cobb Square. And I used to go in there with my granny, and I really don't know what the hell she was shopping for in there, but she was shopping for something, and it always took quite a while. So I would end up looking at all kind of gadgets in there. I'd look at it all. They're real cheap, you know, tape players and things like that. Of course, I'd go through all their toys and look at their old cheap clothes and whatnot. And we'd spend at least 45 minutes in there. I don't know what the hell she was going in there to buy, but anyway, I hadn't seen a Bill's Dollar Store since I was probably 6 or 7 years old. Well, there's one still in operation, y'all, in Greensboro, Georgia. And that's a fact. Swig of that Coast IPA for the Bill's Dollar Store. Now, we stopped at the Welcome Center, and right there when you pass on the South Carolina line in North Augusta, which I didn't know that half of Augusta, Georgia, and the North Augusta, one of them's in Georgia, and the North Augusta is in South Carolina. I didn't know. Did y'all know that? If you didn't, you know now. So, not a whole lot going on there, man. We had a lot of rain and stuff happen right there before we got to the South Carolina line. And I take full responsibility for this. I decided to take a detour and go off on some back roads. And y'all, the back roads of Georgia, right there before you get into South Carolina and right across South Carolina, all that crap looks exactly the same as living down here in Alabama. Horse farms and cows and nothing. Trailers, houses, and nothing. There ain't nothing out there to see on that side of South Carolina, right there around that Georgia line. You know, sometimes it gets glorified that if you go off on a back road that you're going to see something that you ain't going to see nowhere else. And later in the trip, that did happen for us. But it was not happening right there around that Georgia, South Carolina line around Augusta. Okay. Swig of that Coast IPA. Now, it took a long time, y'all. It took a long time to get up there. Now, I get a lot of flack for my slow driving, and I'll take it, you know. I'd rather be safe than sorry. There's a lot of folks got them crosses on the side of the highway because they was in a hurry one day just for the hell of it. OJP does not want to be one of those crosses on the side of the highway. So I take it calm and easy most of the time. Now, that being said, we took the detours due to the weather and the traffic and whatnot. Also, we stopped. We was in Greensboro for about an hour and a half. So let's just say this drive is about a 7.5 or 8 hour drive. Well, yeah, that's about it with those stops. Because I think we left around 12. And we ended up getting to South Carolina, getting into Charleston, getting our stuff unloaded in our Airbnb that we stayed in. About 7:15, 7:30. So I didn't feel like it was terrible. Wasn't the worst for sure, but we both had these grand plans to get into town that night since it was our technically our anniversary, even though we had reservations the next day for our anniversary dinner. We still wanted to go out and get something to eat and whatnot, but I was pretty tired, I ain't gonna lie. She was tired too. So we got into town, we got our stuff unloaded in the Airbnb that we were staying in. It was a little carriage house, which is pretty cool. People who do this, you know, rent out their property, they'll have their main house and then they'll have a little guest house there behind it, which was the situation we were in. And those people were great for that week. They didn't bother us. We didn't bother them. And really and truly, we barely knew that each other was even there. Highly recommend. And some people have horror stories with VRBO or Airbnb or whatever, but we've had nothing but good times so far. We've been doing it for years, and this one was one of our best ones. But we got into town that night and wanted to go somewhere to eat, but I didn't want to drive far after we got unloaded, and I had to have a shower. And I said, I'll tell you what, if you can find somewhere close, I'll hold off on the shower when we get back, you know. And that's what we did. We got stuff unloaded, went to eat at this little place. And it's a little place right down the road from where we stayed called Gilly's. And Gilly's now, this feller that started the restaurant, he's a chef and a dang good one, I might add. This place was started up as a tribute to his grandmother. And let's see if I can remember the feller's name here. Because I want to give him credit because it was really such a great experience to just get into town like that and be able to have a meal as good as it was. Let's see, I'm looking him up here. The restaurant was set up very cool because it was a tribute to his grandmother. And it was a tribute in the way that there were pictures of customers' grandmothers who'd come in there and ate, framed on the wall. I thought that was a very cool idea. But Chef Shawn Mendez, and I'm not talking about the singer now, this is a chef in South Carolina, Charleston to be exact. He started this restaurant, Gilly's, as a tribute to his grandma. And, man, he's doing a fine job. We got in there, we ordered them soul rolls. Now, the soul rolls have, they have like pulled pork, I would say, and collard greens, and maybe some onion, as the great Justin Wilson would say. And just cheesy goodness in there. And then he had a sauce, kind of like a, how you say that? Ooh, y'all. Here, I'm going to have a little sip of this whiskey right quick. He has some of that sauce, though, y'all. And you want to talk about good. It was one of the best dishes we had in Charleston. It was the very first dish. It was the very first appetizer. And it was fantastic. And I'm still kicking myself because we didn't ever make it back to Gilly's to have another meal there. We should have went back. I had the jambalaya, which was fantastic. And she had the shrimp and grits, y'all. And I'm going to tell you one thing about Charleston now. If you like shrimp and grits, you can get good shrimp and grits down there anywhere in Charleston. And that's a fact. Swigging this Coast IPA. That is a fact. We had a side of collards, too, that was pretty dang good there as well. And I'm here to tell you, it was a great meal for our first meal in Charleston. So we're off to a good start because, let me tell you another thing. If you follow me on Instagram, JoshPorter08, on the Instagram, you gonna know that I love to eat, right? We love to eat, and one of the biggest things about our vacations is getting out there and trying some new foods and whatnot. So that was our plan in Charleston. So to get the food tour, so to speak, kicked off like that was pretty cool. At Gilly's. Now the next morning, we woke up and had a good night's sleep and decided to take a walk around the neighborhood because, you know, you need to explore your neighborhood, where you're staying at and everything. And we walked around there and took about a 30-minute or so walk. Woke up a little later than I would have liked to. I'd have liked to get out there a little earlier when it wasn't so warm. But we got out there and took a stroll, and it's a beautiful neighborhood. And of course, this was Saturday morning, people out walking their dogs and whatnot. And they had some beautiful trees with Spanish moss in the neighborhood, trees called terrace trees. And I only found this out because there were signs up in the neighborhood that said, "Save the terrace trees." Now, these terrace trees are being cut down by the power companies to, you know, run power lines and whatnot throughout these residential areas. And, of course, these trees take years and years to grow. So if you got somebody that don't know what they're doing just coming through there to do their job and take care of those power lines, sometimes they cut down these trees or they cut the limbs off of them and hack them all up and all that. So it's kind of a big thing around there. I'd never really heard of a terrace tree, but if you see them, if you look them up, you'll recognize them immediately because they're kind of like the live oak and the crepe myrtle around that Charleston area. You see a lot of them, and they are unmistakable when you see them. Just beautiful, beautiful trees. Well, we walked around and got to see everything. They had a community garden, which is I thought was pretty cool because these houses didn't have the biggest. These weren't like big properties. They may have been third of an acre or so. And so they had a community garden right there by their little community park with these raised gardens that people were planting around there, and had some good-looking produce growing right there down the road. Now, I'm not the kind of fella that would sneak off in the night and take somebody's maters or anything, but if somebody was up to that kind of thing, they could do it there. It's terrible that I think that way, but I know that there's a lot of folks out there that, that'll jack you to maters if you ain't very careful. But obviously, it's a good neighborhood and everybody's cool and not stealing from one another, so that's very nice. Now, as we was walking through the neighborhood, we noticed this smell, very sweet smell, very unmistakable, unforgettable scent that I'll always associate now with Charleston, and that is the scent of star jasmine. It's a beautiful bloom, jasmine, that we're actually going to get some and plant it here around the house to grow. Because we hit it lucky. We were there when it was blooming. And it just smells so good and so sweet. Let me flip through here right quick. I got a lot of pictures of these terrace trees. That was such a beautiful neighborhood and such a peaceful neighborhood. I like that, man. I wish we had more trees here where we live now. Unfortunately, we do not. And it's kind of a bummer sometimes, especially during the summertime, because I like to walk our dogs and whatnot. But it's just hot as hell here in Alabama when you ain't got no shade tree. Let me take a swig of this Coast IPA. And we're going to skip ahead, y'all, to Saturday night, May the 4th, 2019. One of the coolest things that I've ever been able to do, and yes, I am a food nerd and have been, and I've been a big fan of Chef Sean Brock, who has really brought the low country cooking to bigger audience, to a national audience. He has a place now up in Nashville, and he's moved away from Charleston, but his restaurant that he started in Charleston that really, really took Southern cooking to the next level is a place called Husk. And even though he's not there anymore, the essence of his cuisine is still there. And we had reservations that were made months in advance to go to Husk Saturday night, May the 4th, and have dinner, our anniversary dinner, our five-year anniversary. So we took an Uber, which is the first time we've ever used Uber, because we don't have it here in Birmingham, or at least not, it doesn't come out here where we live. So we took the Uber so we could drink or whatever and not have to worry about driving back to our place, which was cool. It was a pretty cool experience. No complaints about Uber. I like it. I think it's a good concept, and I hope one day if we don't get it here that we'll live somewhere where it is. And it is a prevalent thing. Uber, Lyft, whatever you want to call it. I think we use Lyft, actually, so sorry, Uber. You're getting some credit for something you didn't even do. Lyft, L-Y-F-T, that app. Go on and download that if you want to. And anyhow, so we went to Husk. And before we got there a little early because we didn't want to be late for reservations, you know. Husk also has a bar in a separate building there beside the restaurant. And we went in there and had a drink. And that was the first time I drank this beer I'm drinking here tonight, this Coast IPA. And it was absolutely delicious. It was just what I needed. I had no idea. This beer is 97% organic, which, you know, I like to eat organic food when I can, especially organic apples. That's the biggest food that I've been able to tell a big difference in taste. But next to that, this beer, y'all, is so fresh and so smooth, especially for an IPA that's around 6-7%. It's really, really good. Really good beer. I don't know if you can get it shipped to you through, you know, one of those apps online or inside the cellar or something like that, but Hop City or something. Get it. If you can get to, they also have a good Kolsch that I drink out there in Charleston. Oh, man, but we sat down there and we had a drink, and she had a Dragoon tea. It's basically like an iced tea with whiskey in it, which my wife does not drink bourbon, but I don't know if it's because she hadn't had iced tea in so long. She used to be a big sweet tea drinker, and she quit, 3 years ago, and I don't know if it's because she hadn't had any tea in 3 years or what, but she loved it, y'all. It has bourbon in there, and she enjoyed it, so that was pretty cool. So we drank our drinks on down, and we sat there at that bar, and it was kind of emotional for me because one of my heroes, another guy who brought cooking from all over the world, cuisine from all over the world to a national forefront, and really inspired me to travel and eat other foods out of the ordinary, Anthony Bourdain. He's the one who introduced me to Chef Sean Brock on his show Parts Unknown, 2014, I believe it was, or 2015, somewhere around there. He did an episode on Charleston, and it was great, man, and it kind of inspired us to want to travel to Charleston and check out Husk and check out the city. So we're here, and we're in the bar. I'm pretty sure where they filmed the scene where him and Sean Brock were sitting, and I got to go back and watch that to make sure that I'm not wrong about that, but it was kind of emotional for me. And when we left the bar and went in the restaurant or whatever, and we were seated upstairs, when we started to go up the stairs, it kind of really hit me what was going on here. You know, so many times in our life we have these goals and things that we want to achieve, and just places we want to see, or things we want to eat or drink or whatever, music we want to learn how to play or something like that. And this was on that level for me. Anytime that you have a hero or somebody that you look up to or identify with, and you walk on that hallowed ground, I think is the word I'm looking for. Alcohol, hey, it does kind of slow your vocabulary down sometimes. But anytime you walk in a place that they've been in or somewhere that they held in high regard, it'll get to you, man. And it did to me that night. But we got up there and we got sat down. I don't like to compare things too much when it comes to food, especially. But this food was phenomenal, y'all. You know, there are very few meals throughout your life that you'll eat and you'll always remember. You know, you'll remember some soul rolls. You'll remember some good oysters that you had, or you'll remember some dumplings or some you know, just a dish here and there. There are very few meals from beginning to end that you'll always remember. And this was one of them. We started off with some Charleston oysters. Had some kind of little, now, Crystal, she loves liver pate. And I'll eat it, you know, I'll dabble in it. But this one was a little different. It had some crushed peanuts and fresh blackberries. And a little sauce on the side. And it almost tasted like peanut butter and jelly. I know that's really, really a simple way to put this into words, but it almost tasted like that, and I enjoyed it more than she did. But it was good, y'all. I had some fresh slices of bread to put it on. It was just delicious. That was the starting dish or whatever. But the main dish was a small pound of cornbread, his grandma's recipe. We had some beautiful, beautiful catfish that just cornmeal dusted catfish that just was just beyond words. You know, catfish here in Alabama and at most restaurants is just, it's kind of a throwaway dish. Something to eat. If you ain't got a lot of money, or you just want some dirty old catfish, and I'm guilty, y'all. I'll eat just damn near any catfish. But this catfish was next level. Had some Carolina gold rice. Purlieu, I believe is how you say that. Now, I'm going to go on and tell you, that was some of the finest rice I ever have had. Collard greens, Lord have mercy. Preserved tomato shrimp bisque. This little old dish here, I'm going to post it on my Instagram. It'll probably be up before this podcast comes out, so you can go check it out. And I, you know, with this kind of thing, you just kind of mix it all up. You know, just mix it all up and just go at it. It was so delicious. So delicious. I ended up having some Buffalo Trace. Whiskey with it, some bourbon whiskey. I've been wanting to try it. And I tried it out at Husk. It was delicious. I'm going to have to get me a bottle of that to go in here. On that note, I'm going to take a drink of this here Knob Creek. But it was delicious, y'all. And then, to finish it all off, well, I got to hold the phone on that because we did have some beans, too. Some good beans. Them beans was fine. But to finish it all off, we had a piece of like peanut butter pie with some ice cream on top. Whew, it was fine. It's funny because when you go to the restroom, you can see the cover with all the canned vegetables and stuff in it, just like you would find in, you know, an old Southerner's house. It's there and displayed. It's all the ingredients that they use inside the restaurant. These are all, you don't get anything at Hus that isn't South Carolina, that isn't low country food, that isn't based out of that area. And I think that's one of the things that made it special. It's one of the things that made it, you know, a staple of that city. That restaurant is a staple of that city because anything you eat there is from there. It's naturally sourced. You're not going to get any BS. You're not going to get anything frozen. You're going to get the real deal Holyfield South Carolina experience if you go to Husk. And I can't recommend it enough. It does have to be, you know, you have to get reservations months in advance, and it's expensive for normal people to go there. You can't go there every damn week or whatever, but it is phenomenal, and it's well worth the wait, and it's well worth the expense if you're on vacation. If you have one really, really nice meal for that vacation, go on and make it Husk, man. It was an unforgettable experience, and I'll always hold it deep in my heart. Now, the next morning, after that just great night, we decided to get up and go to a small farmer's market right there down the road from us, and it was within walking distance, and we walked over there, and there was a guy with a booth. He's selling vinyl records. And y'all, it couldn't have been any more perfect. We started digging through them. He only had four crates full. He had a small store somewhere nearby, but he only brought four crates to this little small farmer's market. And we started digging through them, and I'll be damned, of course, always. She finds all the good stuff, y'all. She said, J.J. Cole? J.J. Kale? I said, J.J. Kale? Yeah, we're going to need to get that for $7 or $8. This is the first J.J. Kale album I have on vinyl. Other than his tribute album that Eric Clapton recorded in 2014. And it is absolutely mind-blowing. I got in here yesterday after I got off work and listened to it. It is absolutely mind-blowing. J.J. Kale is one of the most underrated and probably not ever going to be as appreciated as he should be, artist of all time. J.J. Kale wrote Cocaine for Eric Clapton. Call Me the Breeze, made famous by Lynyrd Skynyrd. I mean, if he didn't ever do nothing else but write them two songs, that is two of the greatest songs of all time. But he's got a plethora of good songs that other people have recorded. And he has a unmistakable sound when you listen to him by himself or with his band from the early 70s. J.J. Kale was a type of feller who traveled this country, okay, in a Winnebago. And later in his life, he owned over 100 guitars. And he never really achieved big fame as a solo artist. But he lived his dream. He rode around this country in that Winnebago and sang some badass songs with some badass musicians backing him up and lived his dream. So hats off to J.J. Kale, and I'm so tickled to have a vinyl J.J. Kale record in my collection now. Swig of this Coast IPA for that. We also, that day, met some good folks from there in the area, and I got some spicy pickles, which are delicious. I'm still eating on them. I got some spicy kimchi from right there in that area that is out of this world. I had it with some eggs this morning, y'all, because I like to scramble them eggs. Usually I'm scrambling eggs 3 to 5 days a week. Now, I like to scramble them every day. If I'm on the straight and narrow with my diet, I'll be scrambling them eggs 5 days a week. But I've been about three to five this week. But yeah, we got all that good stuff, and then we headed on over to Patriots Point, y'all, to check out the USS Yorktown, which is right there in Charleston. And beautiful big battleship, and you can go out on it and all that, but I'll be 100% honest with you, tickets to that was $25, y'all. And I did not want to spend $25 to walk out on a battleship. Now, if I was going to get to ride on it, we're going to take it out for a spin on the harbor or something, I'll pay you $25. But I've done been on that one down there in Mobile, Alabama. So, you know, I would think one battleship's very similar to most battleships. So we decided to look at it from a distance. And then we headed over to a place in Sullivan's Island now. And I don't know what the name of this place was. And that's just an error on my part. You know, as a podcaster, I am genuinely ashamed that I do not remember the name of this restaurant. But we got these fresh oysters, which I love to eat oysters now. I used to not be an oyster man, but I'll eat a fresh oyster on the half shell, so to speak. And we got a tray of them and had a dozen, that's right. It has 6 Charleston oysters and 6 Maine oysters. Now, the plan was that we was going to split these up, but she didn't like the Maine oysters. So, hey, I'm a team player, y'all. When the wife don't like some, she ain't got the food with it. So I said, all right, you can have the Charleston, and I'll have the Maine. Well, let me tell you something right now. That's fine with me. Those oysters from Maine are some of the best ones I've ever had. And the thing that make oysters special is when, you know, some people can't get over the texture or whatever. But when you get the taste of a fresh oyster in your mouth and you slurp it on down, you pick up that half shell and you drink the juices from that shell, you should be able to taste where that oyster come from. And you may think I'm insane for thinking this way, but that is the freshest oyster I've ever, like, tasted. It, I could taste the sea, y'all. I could taste the Atlantic Ocean that it come out of. It was just beautiful. It was just freaking beautiful and unforgettable. And unfortunately, I can't remember the name of the restaurant. Something sister or daughters. Hellfire. Just email me, text me, call me something if you want to find it out. Because I know she knows the damn name of the restaurant. But we went to Sullivan's Island, y'all, because we had to check out these beaches in South Carolina. And this is something that is probably going, because this is the first time we've ever been in the East Coast as far as traveling to a quote-unquote beach town or whatever on that side of the country. We're Gulf people, y'all. You know, we've been to Hawaii a couple times the last couple years. But for the most part, home base is the Gulf of Mexico, down in Gulf Shores, Alabama. We got a beautiful little spot down there that we frequent every year or so. But this time it was Charleston. And specifically, we went out to Sullivan's Island. And we did not get in the water and on this vacation at all. We didn't even go to the beach too much after this. It's a different thing out there in Charleston. It is not the beautiful sandy beaches of the Gulf, and especially damn sure don't want to put it up against Oahu, Hawaii. These beaches are kind of rough looking, to be honest with you, kind of murky. But the longer we were in Charleston and the surrounding areas, I started to kind of understand why. And that's because of these salt marshes all around that region. There's a big ecosystem there that is not it's unlike anything I've ever been around. So you have a lot of the bay water and salt water and these salt marshes and all this stuff's getting all, they all just stirred up, y'all. So in turn, the beaches just aren't they're not the biggest tourist attraction of this location, which is fine. We didn't even miss it, really. We really didn't miss going to the beach every other day or whatever, because there's so much to see there. So many beautiful things to see. The homes down in the downtown area are unimaginable. The view down at the what they call the Battery, or the White Plain Park, or whatever the hell it's called. The locals there call it the Battery. If you Google the Battery in Charleston, you'll see what I'm talking about. That park down there that everybody goes to and lets their dogs off the leash, and just it's just one of those spots that, you know, for me, I have this weird connection with certain locations on this earth that I've been to, and the Battery is one that is deep in history. For some dark things, you know, when it comes to the slave trade and stuff like that, not being very far away there in Charleston. It's weird that a place that beautiful could be associated with something that ugly. And now that all that's all over with, it's back to just being a beautiful place that people from all walks of life can go and interact with each other and just enjoy nature and enjoy letting their pets off the leash and watching the water roll in. And just, it's just one of those spots on this earth that I deeply connected to, and I'll never, ever, ever forget. And if I ever have the chance to go back to Charleston, I think we went to the Battery 3 or 4 times that week, and Crystal was like, "You really want to go back there again?" I was like, "Yeah." It was one of those spots that I could just chill there for days. Just get me a chair and a cold beverage, and I could just sit right there and just enjoy. We had a I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but we had a picnic at the Battery. We went and picked up some Caribbean food, some Jamaican food to be exact. And one of the things I love so much about my wife is whenever she's around people, she brings out the best in them. Even in conversations with quote-unquote strangers that she just met, she can really, really, really bring out the best in people. And watching her interact with that lady at the Jamaican restaurant and hearing the conversation between the two of them, I just kind of sat back and just kind of watched. And she did that several times on this trip, and I just love it about her, man. It just drives me crazy because she could, she's a humble person and she doesn't care to be in the spotlight too much, but she could seriously have her own little travel show, in my opinion, that would be just fun just to see her interacting with people because she's so cultured. She's so knowledgeable about different kinds of foods and different kinds of places because she's traveling around and unlike myself, I'm kind of, it takes me a little while to get warmed up to people. She can interact with a person that she's just met and get to know them and kind of, you know, shine. The girl just shines. That's all. That's the only way I know how to say it. I can't put my finger on how to. You know somebody like that, though, that just has a personality that shines and can just grab people that you don't even know. But anyway, that's beside the point. We had a damn picnic from this this Caribbean place there at the Battery, and it was great. It was some, we had some jerk chicken, some rice, some collards. Collards were very prevalent in this trip, and I love them. We took a lot of pictures at the Battery. I'm kind of scrolling through that now. We took some pictures of carriage rides, which my allergies started acting up, and unfortunately, we weren't able to ever take a carriage ride because it's kind of one of the reasons why my cowboying days went away. I just can't do it. The dander or whatever that comes off them horses, it puts me in a bad condition. I'm going to take a swig of this here Knob Creek. On that note, there was another little park with a big pineapple fountain that's pretty photo famous there in Charleston. We went down there and sat by the water and chilled for a little while. And there was a guy playing saxophone and dropped a dollar or two in his little tip jar. And that was a pleasant afternoon. There was also a guy, an older gentleman, and he's sitting out there, y'all. And musicians find a way to express themselves. And this gentleman here had two electric keyboards, like two of these cheap Casio keyboards. And what he was doing was, is this first one up here, I noticed what he was doing. He had it set with his beat, you know. It had his little beat going with that one, had it turned up. And then this bottom one down here, he was just playing regular keyboard. But then he had a different sound up here on this top one that went along with that beat. And every now and then he'd reach his right hand up there and he'd hit that top keyboard and he'd have that different sound going. And he had all this business going on. And it was so crazy to me. This dude was doing some fairly complicated stuff, jumping back and forth between two different keyboards. And he had no kind of tips hardly in his jar, and the old saxophone man over there just blowing on the horn, people eating it up and giving him all kind of money. So I made sure and give the damn keyboard man I gave him some extra currency because I was fairly impressed that he was able to do all that he was doing. But that was a really good afternoon. There was just a lot. There was a lot of good times in Charleston. We got up, and I'm kind of, the days are going to kind of get a little, I'm not going to take you day by day by day. I'm just going to hit some of the highlights on down this trip here, because there's, if I did day by day, y'all might get a little bored, and I might get a little tired of having to go through everything we saw while we was in Charleston. Because even though we saw a lot of things, we didn't see a third of the things that was on the list, but we saw some great things. We went on to the Early Bird Diner for breakfast, which in my opinion, this whole trip was the best breakfast of the whole trip, y'all. I had a country scrambler, and this was eggs, bacon, onion, as Justin Wilson said, gravy on top of that, some of them good Geechee Boy grits, and a buttermilk biscuit. And, yeah, it was the best breakfast of the whole trip for me, and I loved it. I'm telling you right now, the Early Bird Diner has got some cool vibes about it. It's kind of a hip little place, very, very busy. And it was funny, we were sitting there and I was eating, and they had this music going. And I was like, I know this album, what is this? And it turned out the next song they played, it was Shovels and Ropes, y'all, which is, they based out of Charleston. They based out of South Carolina. A man and a woman band. And they are great. And they also had the last song from the Parts Unknown Anthony Bourdain show. The last song on there about the Alligator Boys. I can't remember the name. 20 miles east of Crochet or whatever. You'll know it if you hear the damn song, if you see the show. They played that song. Now, you can't tell me everything ain't. Everything was just happening like it's supposed to for me in Charleston, for us in Charleston. So from there, we went to the Magnolia Plantation to take the tour. Swig of this Coast IPA right quick. Now, the Magnolia Plantation has been around for a long time. This back in the 1800s, pre-Civil War, this thing was built. And there's a lot of history about it. So much that I ain't going to get into all of it right now. If you want to find out about it, you should find out about it. I do recommend you take the tour we did, and we also took the swamp tour after we took the regular tour. This was an all-day affair, but it was an absolutely beautiful place, and alligators are all over that place. If you would like to get close to an alligator and most likely not get attacked, and I say that most likely because there's always a slight chance that you're going to be in the wrong place at the right time for the alligator, you know. But we was in the right place at the right time because we didn't have no issues with them alligators. But we was 5-6 feet at times from them alligators, y'all. We met a donkey named Hector. We met some goats. They do have a little petting zoo, and that's what I'm referring to here. We met a real big pig who was very, very happy with his life. Got to see a diamondback rattlesnake real close up, which I have not ever been that close to one. Now, granted, it was on the other side of glass. Looked to be maybe 5 feet long. big around as a baseball. Would probably kill you dead if it bit you. Okay. It did not bite me because we were not close to it for very long, but it was pretty cool to be that close to a serpent. I don't know why, but in the last little while, I've got to where I'm kind of fascinated by snakes. I don't want a snake, I don't think, but I am kind of fascinated by them here recently, which is weird. I don't know. Some of the things that I think things that fascinate me at times, I don't know where they come from, because I can see something my whole life and not want to have nothing to do with it, and then all of a sudden I'm interested in it, and that's where I'm at right now with snakes. But I got a lot of pictures from the Magnolia Plantation that I'll be posting. Peacocks are ornery. We did learn that, and we didn't fool with the peacocks too much. But the swamp tour was pretty dang cool. It had these big, like, pier-type things that you could walk out on. And it was funny because it was a self-guided tour, so when we walked through the gate, it had a automated gate. But it was kind of outdated. So when we walked through there, we got about 15 feet or 20 feet from it. And the gate started to close on its own. And it was real squeaky and like, it was almost like something from a horror movie or from a Jurassic Park movie or something. And, I was like, oh boy, here we go. We're getting out here with them now. And we walked on this pier. And I didn't see anything. And I was like, I don't know. I think we might have wasted some money on this here swamp tour. I'm about ready to turn around and go back to the car. You know what I mean? But the longer we walked, we ended up coming out to this big pond where you walked off the pier and you... Basically, you're just walking around the pond. They got a trail around the pond, and they got little benches and stuff. And, you know, we might have passed three or four people at the most. And there was a couple, they were sitting on a bench, way off in the distance, and we sat on a bench there. It was one of the best and most calm, peaceful places of the whole trip, and we just sat there and we talked and looked around, watched the turtles. Didn't see no alligators at that time, okay? And then we got up and we walked by that other couple and went on around the corner, and I was like, there ain't no alligators out here at this damn, the swamp tour ain't got no alligators on it. I was kind of bummed out, kind of wondering what's going on, you know. And I'll be damned, we turn around, start to walk back around the corner there. I look off down in that lake, probably about 5, 6, 7 feet from us. There's an alligator, y'all. That was the first one. Kept walking. Seen another one. There's another one. Kept walking. Seen another one. There's another one. Three damn alligators. We done walked by three alligators. Didn't see nary one of them. Whew. You talk about predator versus prey, man. If they was hunting, we'd have been gone. We'd have been missing legs, missing arms, whatever they wanted to get a hold of, we'd have been missing them because we didn't even see the damn alligators. So we chilled out for a minute because there was a tour that came through. That was, you know how it is. They got like trolleys or whatever. They had like a little tractor thing. And it was pulling a bunch of carts or whatever with people that was too lazy to walk around the place. And they come through there, and let them get on by. And we decided to walk on down this other trail, right? And I was real tensed up by them because I was like, we done walked by all them other damn alligators and didn't see none of them. Now we on a trail out in the woods. We off the pier, off that elevated pier where there ain't no safety net. You know, you out there with them. And I look off to the right, and there's this cat daddy alligator. I mean, he wasn't huge, but he big enough to eat my damn leg off if he wanted to. I mean, when I get scared, I get angry, and I'll mess up a human now. I'll mess a human up just simply by doing some kicking, punching, poking, whatever I need to do to get away from you if you scare me. But an alligator, y'all, I can be scared and mean and angry, and he don't care. And he's laying over here in the ditch, okay, and I don't know if he's hungry. I don't know if he's had anything to eat today or not, but he's over there, y'all. He's 4, 5, 6 feet from us. And I just stopped. I said, hey, that's enough on this trail. We're going to go on back the way we came. We're going to get on that elevated pier. And we're going to get the hell out of him before we lose a leg. Because we done missed 3 alligators. And I see this dude right here, this cat daddy right here. I saw him. And I didn't want none of him. She agreed. No argument at all because she feels the same way. She don't want to get eaten by a damn alligator on her vacation. So we headed on back out, and it was fun. It was great. I loved it, and I love being that close to nature. And I'm glad that we didn't get attacked. that was something else. So we went back down and walked around downtown some that afternoon, and that happened a lot. There was just so many things to see that really we couldn't see all the historical homes and all that. There's just too many of them. Take a swig of this whiskey here. Now we did ride on out to the Charleston Tea Plantation. Now, the tea plantation is owned by the Bigelow family. And y'all know them Bigelows. Y'all know them. You buy tea in the grocery store, you buy some Bigelow tea if you drinking that hot tea of any kind. Bigelow is probably the biggest tea company in the country. And I didn't know that Charleston Tea Plantation is the only tea grown here in America. There's tea all over the world, but there's only one here in North America, and it's right there outside of Charleston at that tea plantation. And we took the tour of the plantation and saw how they make the tea and all that. It's pretty interesting. You can get online and check out how all that works. We were on our way, though, to the Firefly Distillery because we was taking that tour and tasting. And they also have a winery there. And the name of the winery escapes me here at the moment, but the Firefly Distillery, they distill it all, y'all. They got that rum, they got the vodkas, they got the bourbons, they got all that good liquor out there. And you could try out 6 different shots of liquor, and they wouldn't fool shots. You could, you know, dim them down to your choosing. But they had a whole list of these different alcohols. They even do moonshine out there, and I tried out a couple of those. But you could do six for $6. Hell of a bargain, really. And then the bottles of liquor was $20 to $25 if you decided that you liked something. And we liked the lemonade-flavored vodka and the sweet tea-flavored vodka and the spiced rum, which was what they compared it to, was, you know, the regular Captain Morgan spiced rum. But in my opinion, it's way better. Like, it's the best rum I ever tasted. And you can only buy it there in South Carolina. So I had to get on and get that. I got a bottle of that. And like I said, we got that lemonade and the sweet tea. And I tried out several different things. Their bourbon was pretty good, too. No complaints here. Apparently, they use the same folks up there at Buffalo Trace to do some of their distilling on their bourbon. So, kind of made sense. It was really good, and it was a very, very good experience, very laid-back environment. And we spent a couple hours there and had a great time out at the Firefly Distillery. It's something that's kind of a little off the map and it's rare, I would think, for most folks that travel to Charleston. Now, the next thing that I'm going to mention, and it's something that's not, it's not rare. It's not rare at all. Let me take a drink of this beer. It's that Angel Oak. Angel Oak. Live oak tree. Now, this oak tree, it's outside there, and it's on private property, so they fenced it off, made it a tourist destination. And I'll be honest with you, the photos that I saw online were a lot more impressive than actually seeing it in person. Number one, there's too many damn tourists there. Number two, the tree is out of hand. The tree is huge. It's a big one now, and it's something to see. And I think I would... I shouldn't compare it to the banyan trees over there in Hawaii, but I do. And it's a big-ass tree, and it's a beautiful tree, but it's grown so big that it's out of hand. You got limbs growing that have sprouted out on the ground, like above-ground roots. I mean, this thing is huge, and it's supposed to be anywhere from 400 to 900 years old is what I understand. And these things have a life expectancy of like 900 years. And this poor tree, they've got cables holding up some of the limbs on it and all kind of stuff. It's doing all it can. And it's kind of in an area that don't look like it's real green. You know, it ain't looking like the rainfall in that area is really giving that thing what it needs. It needs to be like on a salt marsh. It needs a salt marsh of its own. Or somebody out there with a damn water hose just spraying it all the time. But it was something to see, and we saw it. Angel Oak, so that was the one and done for me. I won't never go back to the Angel Oak, I don't imagine. Now, my wife had a little bit of different experience than I did on this part. She was kind of looking for seafood in Charleston. And hey, I was happy with soul food, y'all. I'm from down here. I get off in some soul food like a mother. It ain't no problem. I can eat shrimp and grits. All that low country fruit, I can eat it to the end of time. But she was wanting some traditional seafood like you get down here at the Gulf, and she just really wasn't getting it there. So we ventured out to this place on the way to Folly Beach. Oh, boy. And I don't remember the name of this place, but it reminded me a lot of that Patrick Swayze movie, Roadhouse, as far as before they fixed up the roadhouse. We got out there, And it was, you know, it was probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, sun getting ready to go down, but it's still hot, you know. I think every fly in South Carolina and every skeeter, every swamp donkey flew in to greet us out there. This was low country, yeah. And no country for an old man like myself. I did not want to be there. We went in, kind of found ourselves a seat outside on the deck, and it was just, there was too many flies out there. So we decided to go inside, and all this was before we ordered anything, thank God. And we decided to go inside, and it was hotter inside than it was outside. And, you know, there's been times in my life I just keep quiet and just eat it, just drink it, just do whatever. But I had a bad feeling. I had a bad feeling we was about to waste some money. So I was like, we need to get out of here. And that's what we did. So we went on down to the Folly Beach area. And y'all, you know, we've had some great experiences in beach towns. Folly Beach ain't for us. Now, these folks out there in Folly Beach, not to blow their cover or anything, but they big fans of CBD's sister plant. You know what I'm saying? The CBD comes from the hemp, right? Now, the hemp has got a sister plant that may or may not be illegal out there in South Carolina. Now, I don't know. I don't live in South Carolina. I'm a visitor. But there's some poor folks out there in Folly Beach that are all about it. And Folly Beach is not cool for me, bro. I don't need it. We ended up eating somewhere, and I ain't gonna bash the place. It just wasn't, what we needed, and it wasn't the kind of experience. And apparently, Folly Beach has the second longest pier on the East Coast, and it wasn't that long of a pier, and I thought that was kind of odd, but maybe they don't build long piers on the East Coast. I didn't know Charleston had all the problems with hurricanes it does in the fall. Apparently, that East Coast gets tore up over there. And, you know, sometimes when you're not living around something, you're just not aware of it. You kind of hear about it and goes in one ear and out the other. But apparently around September, that's always a big thing. Hurricanes out in Charleston. I do want to take time to say that, we drifted back downtown the next day and took a walking tour from a feller named Jim. And I want to tell you right now, he graduated with a degree in history and had lived in Charleston since the late 90s. And it was great. So cool to hear the little details about the town. Like if you see a door frame in front of a house in Charleston down there around the Battery or somewhere down in the downtown area, and it's got kind of a rope design around the door frame, that means a sailor lived there back in the day, when sailors was really sailing out there, you know. I didn't know all that. There's just a lot of little things, and there was this there was this guy, he was an artist who worked with wrought iron, and he always put these little hearts in his designs of wrought iron. And before that, I just never really paid any attention to the different wrought iron gates and things throughout the city. This dude did a lot of work, y'all. He's all over that city. He passed away a few years ago, but he left a lasting impact. He even saw, like, some of the houses that was being, you know, refurbished and refinished and all that. People had taken his stuff down and was sanding it and painting it and making it new again, keeping it like it's supposed to. So whoever that artist was, which I can't remember, you know, that's one thing about this podcast. If you find it entertaining, that's great, but you probably ain't going to learn a whole lot from it because I can't remember nothing I'm talking about, apparently. A couple more highlights, though, from the trip was McCrady's, one of the oldest taverns in the country. 1778, y'all. Established in 1778. And we went in there and had a drink. And it's pretty cool because it's been on an episode of Top Chef. And we went in there and had a drink. And she had another one of those moments where she was putting on a show with a bartender and talking to him and really bringing out the best of him. And I found it very entertaining. He was from L.A. He had moved out to South Carolina. Just kind of a fella that wanted a change of scenery and everything. He was a motorcycle riding guy. So he left the traffic that was in L.A. for Charleston, which is very laid back and very cool. So that was a pretty cool experience getting to go to McCrady's. Let's see what else we got going on here. Oh, Rusty's Cool Guitars. We ended up going there and checking out some guitars. It was probably the only guitar shop that I really wanted to go to in Charleston. And I fell in love with the damn Telecaster, y'all. Happens every time to me, man. I can find the good ones, and I found one. And it was, of course, called the Richards model, after Keith Richards, from a company called Rock and Roll Relics. And, I'm gonna end up having to get one of them one of these days. It was great. Just another example of how sweet my wife is. She was trying to talk me into buying it. And, you know, I'm trying to do better and not waste all of our money on toys and whatnot. And I got great guitars and didn't need one. So I refrained from buying the old Richards model. But here in a couple years, I'll probably have to go on and get it, because it was phenomenal, man. Great tone, and the dude there was just so nice, and I couldn't recommend, if you want to buy a guitar, especially a handmade guitar, you should buy one from Rusty's Cool Guitars, because he dedicates, or he donates all the proceeds. Basically, this is a guy who's okay. He's got plenty of money. He runs his shop just simply to have something to do, because he loves music and he loves guitars. And all the proceeds from this shop go to veterans and freaking pets, dog shelters and stuff. He keeps none of the money for himself. He gives it all away, anything he makes off of this place. So I thought that was super cool. And came very close to supporting him that day. We made it to Hannibal's, y'all. Now, Hannibal's is very, very legendary in the Charleston area. They got pictures up. This is soul food to the nth degree. It's right there behind the Culinary Institute where Sean Brock went to culinary school, and it was a place that he frequented, and it's a place that if you go to Charleston, you gotta go. And we had the crab and shrimp rice, and it was delicious. They got pictures of Danny Glover up in there. They got pictures of, who's that good-looking woman? That good-looking woman, what's her name? Dadgummit, I'm going to have to, what's her name? Black lady from the late 90s, fine-looking woman in all the movies. Dadgummit, what is her name? Oh, boy. She was in, what was she in? What was that woman in there? Oh, hell, I done hit the wrong button. Under 30. Over. Over 50, because this woman here is over 50 years old. Damn it, I know this woman's name. It's gone. There she is right there. What is her name? What is her name? That's the only thing about the internet sometimes. I won't tell you who the hell the picture's of. Boy, I'm telling you. Angela Bassett. That's her name. She been there. She been to Hannibal's. Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett. However you say it, that woman had been to Hannibal's too. She, her picture's up in there with the owners of the place. And we got to go there too. That was pretty cool. Had a lot of good, we went back to Husk, to the bar, and had a couple of drinks. I drank the Kolsch from Coast. Let's see. I'm going to go and wrap it up now because I feel like I'm just dragging on, y'all. We went to the, after we left Hannibal's, we went to the Mount Pleasant Waterfront Park. And this is a park. There's a huge bridge that goes from Charleston to Mount Pleasant. And when I say huge, I'm not exaggerating. There's like 8 lanes on this bridge, right? 4 on each side. And let me tell you right now, there is a park underneath that bridge you can see. Charleston across the bay, you can see that battleship. You can see birds, dolphins, the whole 9 yards. And we sat right down there. I ended up walking all the way out to pier just to check it out. But you can see everything from there. It's just as peaceful as can be. And there's freaking, you know, tons of traffic right there above your head. I posted a picture of this on my Instagram, JoshPorter08. But it was beautiful. And Crystal, she sat there and she read a book, and I just kind of sat there and took it all in. Watched the dolphins jumping out of the water and those birds and things. And that was one of those afternoons. It was pretty unforgettable because simple. It's the simple things in life, you know, to quote the old Kenny Chesney song. One of the last places we visited was Lewis Barbecue, and it's probably a good thing we waited to go there at the end of the trip because it was freaking ridiculously delicious. My wife cooks the best macaroni and cheese on the planet, and Lewis Barbecue apparently has the second best in the country, and it was great. And drank a regular Coors, which I hadn't drank in many, many moons. And it was phenomenal brisket. What was that other side we had? Hell, it might have been another one of them collard green situation. Let me look here. No, we had French fries. We didn't have no collards there, I don't think. Oh, you can't go to Charleston without it at least mentioning Bill Murray. Bill loves Charleston. Got a place there and owns the Charleston River Dogs, which is the minor league team for the New York Yankees, you know. And we went to the River Dogs game that Friday night before we left. And it was a blast. We didn't stay very long, but it was a blast. I went there to get a damn hat, y'all. Y'all know how I am with these hats. I'm addicted to hats, and we got one. Probably overpaid for it, but we got one. On our way out Saturday, we decided to go to Odesto Island because you got to go to the Boneyard Beach before you leave, you know, South Carolina. And it's funny because the whole trip, I love those Geechee Boy grits and never got around to buying any in town. And as we're driving out to Odesto Island, which is 30 or 40 miles away from Charleston, on this old back road, we pass the freaking Geechee Boy Mill with their little shop out there in front and everything. Had to turn around, go back to it because didn't realize it was even out there. We went in there, I bought a hat, got me another hat, because you know how I do. And then we bought some grits. We bought, what else we buy? We bought some beans. We bought some, these Benet crackers. Hey, I'm telling you right now, you ain't never had a damn Benet cracker. With your coffee in the morning, you don't know what living's all about, bruh. We bought some of them, and it was phenomenal. Then we went on out to the Boneyard Beach, and it was the first time we hit the dirt roads out in Charleston, out in South Carolina, right? We out past Charleston now. Boneyard Beach is cool as hell. Anybody that's got the chance to go out there and check it out, you need to. I'm going to be posting some pictures of that on Instagram here in the next day or two. And, yeah, we went to Atlanta. We decided not to come home directly. We went to Atlanta Saturday night and stayed there. And, because we wanted to go eat some Korean barbecue. And we got there late Saturday night, and it was delicious. We had some at 9292 Korean barbecue. And, but the next morning at the JS Kitchen on the way out of Atlanta on Sunday, went to this Korean place, and that is legit. You want some of the best Korean food you will ever eat. It's called the JS Kitchen. Just look it up on the Yelp. That's the one. And that was the end of our 5-year anniversary vacation. We brought our asses back here. Got here about 1 o'clock. It wasn't bad. And on Sunday. And then went back to work this weekend. It was tough. I ain't gonna lie. You know, sometimes you need a day or two to get back in the groove before you go back to work. And that was probably would have been the best idea. My attitude was not good Monday through Wednesday. I ain't gonna lie. But pushed on through. And everything turned out fine. And I don't have a bad memory from Charleston other than the fact that Folly Beach did not live up to what I would have liked it to. But everything else was so far above expectation that it canceled it out. So there's no bad experience that I had there. No bad experience at all. I loved it. I love my wife. I'm very, very happy that we've spent 5 years of marriage together. She's a beautiful human being, and I can't express enough how lucky and blessed I am to have her, and how cool it is to be where I'm at right now in my life. So thank you, Charleston. Thank you for all the people that we met and all the people that were so hospitable out there, the good folks that drove us around here and there in the Lyft vehicles, the good folks out there that just treated us like we were family and friends. And that's all you can ever ask for anywhere you travel to. So that's it. Charleston, South Carolina. You are a friend of mine, and I hope to see you again very, very soon. And I would like to thank all of you for listening. If you have made it this far, I appreciate you listening to this show, because it's been a long one. It's been one of the longest podcasts I've done in a very long time, but I have really enjoyed revisiting these memories. Oh, pearls. As I'm shutting it down here, I'm going to share one last memory. Pearls is a little oyster house right there on the main street down, kind of close to the Battery in downtown Charleston. One of the best happy hours that we experienced was down there at Pearl's Oyster House, and we had a time with this couple from Michigan, young couple. The feller was hilarious, and if we had have taken a lift that day, me and him would have raised some cane all over Charleston. But unfortunately, we were in our vehicle, and I couldn't drink too much, and had to go back and not participate drinking with him that evening. But he was a trip. Husky's got the sneezes here. He was a trip. We met this couple from Michigan, and as we were sitting out there during happy hour at Pearl's, and this dude, him and Crystal got to kind of comparing notes about our freaking snowpocalypse of 2014, which was a very rare thing. And of course, folks from Michigan got 6 months of snow, so there's no competition there. And apparently, this cat had been up for about 36 hours to get to Charleston to see his wife, who was there on business. And this cat had done flown on 3 different airplanes to get down here. And he was tired, y'all. But he was drinking and having a good time, just trying to stay up just to see his wife and have a good time with her. And we got to talking about, like, they invited us to go ride jet skis with them on Friday. And this was on Wednesday, I think. And, of course, we just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. You know, we ain't jet ski kind of folks. I ain't trying to get out there and get killed on no damn jet ski. But anyway, it was just a great, great, great little memory that I'll never forget, was the sparkle in his eye, even though he was so damn tired, just to be there in that beautiful city with his wife that he loved. And he'd been through hell to get there, apparently, and didn't care because he was in such a beautiful place with her, and they were getting to spend a few days enjoying the city with each other. And that's Charleston, you know. Even if you're wore out and run down, I would think that would be one of those places that wouldn't do nothing but bring you up in this world. So that being said, Hillbilly Luchador on iTunes, joshporter08.com for anything you need to know about this one here. I'm on the Facebook, I'm on the Twitter, I'm on the Instagram. I'm out there, but, you know, hey, if you don't see me for a couple of weeks on there, you'll know that I'm reading a Mark Twain novel or listening to a John Prine record or something. And I ain't got time to be on the social media. So that's just how it is. I love y'all. And I thank you again for listening, my friends and neighbors. And we will catch you next time on the Hillbilly Luchador Podcast.
I ain't got nobody hanging around my doorstep. Ain't got no loose chain, just a hanging around my jeans. If you see somebody, would you send them over my way? I could use some help here with a can of pork and beans. I once had a family, but they up and left me with nothing but an 8-track. Another side of George Jones. I was in high cotton, just a banging on my 6-string, a kicking at the trash can, walking skin and bone. I could see your back porch if I close my eyes now. I can hear the train tracks through the laundry on the line. I'm thinking it's your business, but you don't got the answer. I'm knocking on your screen door in the summertime. Everybody's out there climbing on the trees now, swinging in the breeze now, hanging on the vine, dreaming about a sailboat. I don't need a fur coat underneath the dashboard. Got some sweet potato wine. I can see your back porch if I close my eyes now. I can hear the train track through the laundry on the line. I'm thinking it's your business, but you don't got the answer. I'm knocking on your screen door in the summertime. I can only scream.